Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
How many of you love it when God works in your life and does things? How many of you love it when He kind of just begins to talk to you about things or show you things about yourself that you thought, all right. You kind of get a little bit challenged. And how many of you enjoy that process? Brilliant. That's what I'm going to share about this morning. Is that all right? Excellent. Just a bit of reality, a little bit of what God's been doing in me, a little bit of a story to it, I suppose. And just want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to start there this morning. On the Sunday after Faith Camp, normally we just have stories, testimonies of what God did during the week, but we had a sort of short word on that day. And Chad came up and shared something that God had shown him in the prayer meeting that morning. And when I got up that morning, I was just going through some scriptures in the first three chapters of Mark, which I've just constantly been reading and going through over the last, 6 weeks or so. And I kind of felt that morning that God wanted to say something to us about three different situations in the first couple of chapters there, about when Jesus was in somebody's house and what took place. And I kind of thought, okay, God, you know, all the children are in and this is straight off the faith camp. We don't want to get into a long message, you know, and just a few sort of thoughts that were gathering. Then came to the prayer meeting and Chad, kind of in the middle of the prayer meeting, said, look, God's given me this picture of a house. And in this house, there are people. And as I watched this picture, the kind of people morphed into kind of Jesus and lots of Jesuses in this house. And when I kind of continued to watch, the back door was open and Jesus had come in through the back door. And he said, I didn't understand exactly what that meant at first, but just really felt God wanted to do something in our homes and in our lives in this next season that's coming up. And that God was going to do something completely new, you know, through the life groups. And they were going to become really important and really central to how things are going to move forward in the life of the church and the importance of our relationships and everything. And then we carried on praying a bit more. And then he kind of shared a bit later, look, you know, I asked God, what is the back door? Why the back door? Why didn't you come to the front door and everything? The front door, surely that's the important door. And what God said to him was, well, when you're friends with somebody, you always go to the back door. You don't wait for an invitation. There's never a wrong time to pop round and see your friends, you know. And there's kind of the back doors open and somebody's home's open if you're friends. If you don't know the person very well, if you're just visiting, you might go to the front door and knock and wait for the door to be answered, or you wait for an invitation. But with the back door, you kind of go around the back, let yourself in, and it's kind of like you make yourself a cup of tea and you feel like you're at home. And what he shared was that God wants us to open up our lives and our homes in this new season, that the back door of our lives and the back door of our homes are going to be open to one another, and our homes open in a new way. And it kind of fitted in a little bit with what I kind of felt that morning. God wanted to share about the three different stories that Jesus was in the house and the different things that happened as a result. And one thing that God's been kind of challenging me with and working in me a little bit over these last few weeks, or before that, but over the last few weeks as well, is really on the whole, not just about loving people. I don't just want to talk about our love for people just as a thing, but really friendship. And do I really have friends that I'm really open with, and people that really know me, and do I really know people? And our friendships and our relationships, and we're going to look at some scriptures in a minute, are absolutely key and essential for how we're going to move forward. And as we talked last week about quite a broad spectrum of things, which is really a bit more of a communicating in half an hour or so of just what God's been speaking about in my heart, really, and just sharing things about how we need to go forward as a church, what that means here in Horsham, what does it mean for Crawley, what does it mean in the 25-mile radius, and some of the stuff we're going to move into next year. And one of the things that we said was God wants to release people in this season to really grow in the things of God, to become fruitful in this new season. And people are going to find their place more in what God is doing. But right at the heart of that, we also talked about the importance of our relationships, our friendships, and the depth of those amongst us as a people. And I just want to, if we're going to share through this stuff for a few minutes, just look at 1 John 4, starting at verse 7. And just some of the personal challenge, if you like, that God's been kind of doing in me to kind of link in and earth this a little bit. But let's have a look at verse 7, just reading from the Truth version. Dear friends, it is essential that we love our fellow believers and receive love from them. For this love comes from God. Now, if there's going to be a friendship, a relationship, it's got to be two-way. And relationship, there's different levels. And obviously, communication is key to a relationship. But communication sometimes can just be one way. One person is talking and trying to communicate. If the other person is not listening, then it's not really a relationship. It's just a one-way conversation. And this first verse talks about the need or the essential need to love one another, but we also not just love to give, but we also receive. Now, some people find it a lot easier to love than to receive love. And one of the things that God wants to do, I believe, during this season is a greater depth of friendship and relationship amongst us, which has got to come out of from a place of love. But also he wants to enable us to give, but also to receive love. And you know, sometimes, like we got Laura up here, she had no idea. None of the people, as far as we're aware, and we do Hero of the Month, know that they're going to receive the award or whatever. And sometimes it's difficult or embarrassing to receive something. When you get somebody on stage or you stand there and just encourage somebody and say how brilliant they are and how well they're doing and how you've seen they've grown in the things of God and how they are as a person and how you see them, you know, just growing in life. And people find it hard to receive. How many of you find that hard to receive? When you just, people just encourage you, I don't know, maybe some of you go, yeah, come on, bring it on, tell me, you know. But for a lot of people, most people, if you start encouraging them and saying, you know, really building them up, they get embarrassed. And they what are you talking about me? Well, you know. And sometimes we find it hard to receive, all right? Now, some of you might say, you know, you might, when somebody's encouraging, you might say, well, you know, it's the Lord. You know, well, you know, it's just the Lord. It's the Lord in me. Well, we know it's God, you know, but it's good to be encouraged, isn't it? Good to be strengthened. And to be built up and actually be reminded, you know, what God is doing and how you see somebody grow and develop. It says here, it's essential that we love our fellow believers and receive love from them, for this love comes from God. This love is in every person who has received the second birth that God alone can give. So God has put his life in you and he's put a dynamic of love that is beyond your natural ability to love. God has put his spirit of love in you and me to enable us to love in a way that is beyond our own standards or our own ability to love one another. Let's just read on. Putting this love into action demonstrates to the world that you know God in your experience. So that it's talking about the reality of a relationship with God here that must have something, or the word says here, that has a visual outworking to it. It's something that is real, something that is seen. So this dynamic of life that God has placed in you and me, this dynamic of love of his, this supernatural love that placed inside of us, the Bible says, must have a real expression that is tangible, that you can feel, that you can take hold of, that you can receive, that you can even feel the effect of from somebody else. It's something, isn't this, not just the spiritual theory, but there's a reality to the tangible love that comes from the nature and the character of God's life that He's placed in us. Because God's nature is love. So he says here, he's putting this love into action, demonstrates to the world. So there's a demonstration that goes beyond just loving one another. There is something here that the Bible is talking about, that if we love one another or are in relationship with one another, giving and receiving a level of friendship, a depth of friendship amongst us, that it becomes a demonstration to the world, that it says here, that shows that we know God by experience, not just knowledge. That there's an experience of God in terms of receiving His love and living in His love, and there's an experience of God that others can have by the love that you give and the way that you give to others. So people can receive God's love, not just from God directly, but they can also receive, you can receive or I can receive God's love through another believer, through another person. Because you and me, we have the spirit of love. We have God Himself in us. Therefore, you and me can receive God's love through one another. So you can have a revelation of God's love by the way somebody else loves you. You can be set free by the way that somebody else loves you, because Christ is revealed through our lives. Now, we know Christ reveals Himself and God reveals Himself into our lives. But I think sometimes we don't value and appreciate the power of God's nature and character at work in us, and how that then actually can release somebody else or encourage somebody else or help somebody else to receive from God because of the way we love somebody else. So the power of love is like a potent force that is at work on the inside of you, and God wants to release that a greater dimension of that amongst us, so that we give love, but also so that we can receive. And the fruit of that is not only our own lives being built up, it's not just the life of the body becomes stronger together, but also the world sees something. They might hear of it, but they also see of this dimension of love. Verse 8, whoever does not put such love into practice does not have personal knowledge of God. Now, what that means is not just a knowledge in your mind, but a personal experience of God's love, whether it's directly from God or receiving through somebody else. But what he's saying here, does not have personal knowledge or personal experience of God Himself, for God is love. How did He reveal His love amongst us? By sending His one and only Son into the world that we might have God's eternal life through Him. You see, this is true love. Not that we have loved God, but that He has demonstrated His love for us by sending His Son to be the sacrifice upon the cross to bring us back to unity with God through the forgiveness of our sins. Or you could read that in a shorter way by saying that this true love is not that we have loved God, but that He first loved us. We heard a couple of weeks ago when Aaron was here, the relationship between Peter and John, that John had a revelation that Jesus loved him. And therefore, there was a walk of rest, if you like, that he had with Jesus, that was not trying to perform for Jesus or having that I've got to be a certain way for Jesus to. Whereas Peter's kind of, he hadn't had the same revelation, and it was more that I love Jesus and I want to please God. I want to do something. I want to, you know. But yet John had this revelation that enabled him to live in a place of rest. He wasn't trying to run in his own strength. And we heard that kind of revelation that we are God's beloved, that He has loved us, therefore we can love Him. And if we live out of that, man, it sets you free. And for me personally, over the last few weeks in particular, I think while we've been away and just seeing some of the things we've seen and over the last few weeks, been in different places, Jay and I, and just things for the autumn. You know, really, in my own life, just really being challenged by God and kind of saying, how open are you? And how much do you really let people in? And I was at a meeting about a week before Faith Camp down in Brighton, and there was a guy speaking there from South Africa, and he's planted some churches a few years ago. In one church there's 35,000 people, in another church there's 12,000 people, and they plant churches all over the place. Their message on a Sunday morning, they put that into 20 different locations during the meeting. And those locations are not other services. They're like prisons and, you know, outreach centres. And in any given week at the moment, they're seeing between 500 and 800 people give their lives to Jesus every weekend at the moment, and across the different churches. And you think, wow, you know, on one level you go, absolutely brilliant, don't you? You think, come on, Jesus. And on another level you're like, and it kind of challenges you, you're like, come on, you know. And just when we met him and chatting to him, you think, well, what's he doing that's any different to how we live in our lives and all that? I don't know, but don't want to go there and analyse that one for a moment. But he said something right at the beginning of this meeting. And he was talking about reaching the lost and your personal soul winning as a leader. And he said, don't even ask your people to reach the lost unless you personally are, reaching the lost and seeking to lead people to Christ personally. Not how many did you last lead to the Lord in an altar call or in a meeting or in a whatever you're doing, but in your own personal life, how many people have you led to the Lord in the last week, in the last 2 weeks, in the last month, in the last 3 months, and all of it, and challenging. But he started off and he said, as is the leader, so are the people. And, you know, as a leader, you know that, and some of you would, you know, and we know that's a sort of principle in the kingdom. As you are, so others will be, if you're leading people and how you influence others and stuff. And I sat there, and this is to do with evangelism, but that phrase has been going around my head and in my life for the last few weeks. And God's taken that not just to do with, you know, reaching people that don't know Jesus, but also in my own life about how you are, Clive, is how the people will be. And God's kind of used that to kind of say, do you let people in? How open are you? How friendly are you? Not just friendly as in, oh, hi, how you doing? Great to see you. You know, and you do a high five or something. And you know, you think of yourself in a certain way, don't you? And I know for me, I kind of see myself in some ways. I think, well, I'm probably fairly approachable most of the time, I hope. And I come across fairly friendly, and I'm willing to chat to people, and I don't mind who I chat to and all that kind of thing. But And it's like God said to me, yeah, but Clive, you live on quite a surface level. You know, when God starts saying things to you like that, you're like, okay. And I, you know, I don't know if I seem approachable or not. Hopefully I do. But most people seem to come up and say hi or chat or you know, they don't think, you know, I'm just, you know, in my own little world. Maybe some of you do, I don't know. But it's one thing doing high fives, isn't it? It's one thing chatting to people. It's one thing being smiley. It's one thing being quite welcoming and happy and, hey, great to see you. It's really good and da-da-da-da-da. But actually, God said to me, how many people are you really a friend to? How many people have you really got a depth of relationship with where they know who you are? And I sat there and I thought, well, my wife does. That's about it. And I've got one or two other guys that I know. I've got one guy somewhere else, really good mate, who I could talk to anything about. And but in terms of just week in, week out, daily life, you know, I sat there and I said, I've got a very short list. There's my wife's name on it, and that was it. And don't get your violins out. This is not that sort of message. But what God said to me, he said, as is the leader, so are the people. Now, I know a lot of you guys have got great friendships and all of that. And you've got more friends than I have and all of that kind of thing. A lot of you guys. And but God said to me, if in this coming season, there's a lifestyle and a way of living that I want to develop in Kingdom Faith, a depth of friendships, a depth of openness, a depth of vulnerability that I want to develop. This isn't just talking about loving one another and all that, but actually just a depth of friendship where you're opening up your life. That doesn't mean you can't do that with everybody in that sense, to that depth. And so I've just been praying and saying, God, we'll work in my heart then begin to do that. And as I move towards people then, just to go in a deeper level, then as I just step towards that, just would you do something in me and work in me then so that I become more open, more honest. I'm not that I'm dishonest, but, you know, more open and vulnerable in that way. And I believe this is really important for how we move forward because God wants to build around relationships. People get saved into Christ. Is that right? Yeah. They get saved into Christ. But they don't get saved into the church just as a form. When they get saved into Christ, they become part of a body. So people get saved into your life and into my life. They get saved into our world. They get saved into relationship with us as well. So they get saved spiritually, you know, into Christ, so that they get their sins dealt with, sought with, forgiven, and they get a new life in Christ. But they also, if you like, they come into relationship. They get saved, if we can use this phrase, into relationship with us as well. And the relationships that we have and how they develop, and this is where life groups and how they're going to grow and develop are going to be absolutely essential for the way that we move forward as a church, both here in Horsham, in Crawley, and then also what develops, you know, in the coming 2, 3, 4 years around the 25-mile radius, that we're not just going to build around meetings and just let's start a meeting there and see how many people we can gather. Now, God wants to release people in their lives, not just gather people around a meeting. We can have meetings and all of that. It's easy to put on a meeting and start a meeting and get a band together and a team together. It's easy to do that kind of thing. The challenge is how we're living our lives together and the depth of those relationships. So let's just read on for a minute. Says here, verse 11, "Dear friends, I repeat, if this is the extent of God's love for us, then surely we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God as he is. Yet if we truly put our love for one another into action," this is powerful, "his love is revealed and fulfilled in us and the world can see that love." Well, even John here, the Bible says here that none of us have actually ever seen God as he is. Now, many people in this room, you've had encounters with God. In worship, you've had a revelation of God in some way, and God has been revealed to us at different points, maybe in a meeting, maybe in your own time with God, when you've been on your own. God has revealed something of himself, and sometimes you would describe some of those things as, you know, I saw the Lord, or I saw God, or I saw something. But none of us have actually ever seen the fullness of who God is. But yet the Bible says here, the Word says here, that God wants to reveal himself and show himself and reveal who he is through our love, through his love in us, but through our love for one another. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's pretty powerful. Let's just go on. "We can be certain that we continue to live in him and that he continues to live in us because we have his own spirit living in us. We have seen this clearly and tell others that God the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the entire world. So if anyone truly believes that Jesus is God's Son, God truly lives in him and he lives in God. In fact, we can be sure of this, that we are able to depend completely on the love that God has for us. God is love, so if love is your way of life, it is clear that you live in God and that he lives in you." That's a challenge, isn't it? I read that the other day. I was reading through. And when it says there, "so if love is your way of life," I thought, whoa, how do you manage that? If love is your way of life. And for me, it's like, God, what is my way of life? What do I think about? What do I, you know, what am I asking for? What am I believing for? What do I focus on? You know, but this challenge in this verse here, if love is your way of life, It is clear then, if it is, it said it is clear then that you live in God and that he lives in you. So I sat there and I thought, okay, if love is my way of life, it must then be clear to others that God lives in me. I was going to start with a joke this morning, but then I changed my mind. So it's a little bit sobering today, isn't it? But I thought, hang on a minute, here's a way of life. But then the word says, if it is, then it must be clear that God lives in me. Now, I could ask you guys, say, do you think God lives in me? And all of you go, yeah, you know, of course he does. Yeah. But I'm thinking, well, people that don't know that I'm a Christian, or people that don't know me very well, if I had a conversation with them, would they see something? I don't know. Hopefully they would. But it's this challenge, and it's like, okay, God, I want to walk in this. I want this to become a way of life then, in the way that you're talking about in this new season, the friendships and the relationships I already have. I mean, I've got friends, but I know in the way that God is talking about, I'm like, man, my relationships are only so deep. And it's like, God, I want to open up my life in a new way. I want to become more vulnerable, more open. I want the back door of my life to be open. I want the back door of my house, in that sense, to be open in a fresh way so that you can, the friendships, the relationships, how you want to build and move things forward. It's not just on a spiritual dynamic, you know, but actually it's the spiritual dynamic of who you are in us in relationship with one another also that is essential for, and it's the glue and the, you know, that you want to build around and grow things from in this season. So this is how God's love is revealed among us, and it is the obedience to him that will give us confidence on the day of judgment. Such love shows the world that we are like the one in whom we believe. Wow. There is no fear in this kind of love. Brilliant. There is no fear in this kind of love. Wow. So what's the best way to deal with fear? Love. Love from God and love one another. If somebody knows that you love them, then there's no fear there. There's a reverence that can be there. Like my kids, they know that I love them because of the way I am with them. But they also know there's a line that you don't cross. Otherwise, you're going to get into trouble. You're going to get told off. And so with them, there's a right reverence or fear of their dad. I don't mean they're afraid of me, but there's a right reverence about the relationship they have with my dad. So they know we can mess about, have a great time and have a laugh, but there's certain things they can't say to me or say in a certain way because they know that would be rude. That would be crossing a line. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever. So there's a right reverence that keeps that is healthy in that relationship with love. But they know ultimately I love them. So sometimes if they do need pulling up on something, you know, they don't walk away saying, oh, my dad doesn't love me, he hates me and all of that. Actually, they know I was wrong and I need to be corrected or pulled up on something. But it doesn't restrict them and shut them down. It actually provides a great environment for them to grow more in because they know actually they're not just going to be let to run free this way and that way and end up just going down the garden path somewhere. But there's actually somebody who's keeping a watch over their life to keep them healthy in different ways. But it's in the context of love. So for them, there's no fear in that relationship with me because they're not thinking when dad gets home, is he going to be in a mood? Is he going to be stroppy? Is he going to blow my brains out? Is he going to have a go at me and all of that? And, you know, and so Megan, for example, you know, I love it. You know, my relationship with her, our daughter, and it's great because you just feel such a, I don't know, it's different having a girl than lads, isn't it? Those who've got girls, it's great having lads, you know. But a dad sort of relationship with a daughter is kind of different than a dad relationship with a son. And it's great seeing her grow up, but it's like the friendship you can have, the things you talk about, and just the, you know, and when I see her and when she sees me, you know, but there's a boldness she's got as well. I've just got given an iPad the other day, which is cool. I haven't sussed it to preach from it yet. But she's had it more than I have. You know, I've taken it to work, but as soon as I get home, this iPad disappears and down apps on it. She's got more apps on my iPad than I have. And we went out, popped out yesterday, and when we got back, she downloaded this dressing up game app on my iPad. And this app's got it's a pink little square with a, you know, a woman on it, you know, or you know, whatever. Not a woman as in, you know, it's like a cartoon thing, you know. And I what's that, a pink thing? And, it, you know, it's not even on her page, you know. It was on mine, one of mine. And I'm like, hang on a minute, what's this? And it's this dressing up game, you know, and all this sort of stuff that they, you know, fashion thing and everything. And I'm thinking, man, if somebody picked this up somewhere and they looked at that, they think, there's something wrong with this bloke. You know, he's got a dressing up game on his iPad. We need to, somebody needs to have a word with him or he needs sorting out or something. And but she knows, she can just, like even this morning, the first thing she did, she walked in and she grabbed my iPad as if she was going to, and I said, hang on, mate, I need that for a minute. She goes, oh, no, I need it. He said, you got your Bible and a notebook. That's what she said. She says, you got your Bible, you got a notebook to write things in. So, you know, and but you see, there's a boldness, there's a confidence there. Because she knows it's a relationship with love. What's mine is hers. She can just, she doesn't even have to ask, you know, in that sense, for that sort of thing. And anyway, let's have a look. Verse 20. We love because we are responding to his great love for us. Listen, if someone says, I love God, but you see that he does not love his fellow believer, it is obvious that he lies. It's pretty strong, isn't it? For anyone who does not love his brother, who is right in front of him, cannot possibly love God, whom he has never seen with his naked eye. Man, what a challenging verse, or couple of verses. And so it's like, God, okay, begin to work this in me then in a deeper way. I don't think I'll ever be there, but it's like, God, just work in me what I'm reading and what I'm going through, what you're doing in me, because I want, as I am, so everybody else will be. That doesn't mean nobody can love others until I do. You know, because I know some of you guys, there's some awesome friendships that you guys have got with one another. And some of the things we hear that get back to us, you know, in terms of what people have done for one another, the way they've given things or served or just done something for other people, you know, it's like, that's brilliant. It's amazing the things that are going on. But I know it's like, God, do something deeper in me in this area. Then verse 21, anyway, this is the command that God has given us. Whoever truly lives in love for God must also live to love his fellow believer. And that was another challenge. It was like, I said to the Lord, God said to me, he said, do you live to love your fellow believer? And I sat there and I said, God, if I'm honest, a lot of the time I live because I want to see results. And it's like, God, I live and I want to see results through people. Why aren't they doing this? Why hasn't that happened yet? And it just, you know, it's not that I'm thinking that in a negative way. And it was like I sat there and it's like, God, are my friendships and my relationships, are they based out of what other people do and accomplish rather than a real friendship, no matter what they do or don't accomplish? And it was like, okay, because your relationship with me is not based on whether I've accomplished something and got a result. Now, there is something called obedience in relationship with God, and we demonstrate our love for God by the obedience in our lives. And as a result of that, we are fruitful. So there is an obedience of love to God's command. If you love me, you will obey my commands. That's in the natural, that sounds pretty hard. But actually, it's true, isn't it? If we love God and he gives us a command, we'll obey it. Why? Because we love God. Not because we're afraid of him, but actually because we want to please him. Yes. Not please him out of a, I love God, but we want to please him because of that revelation of he has loved me. Therefore, I want to love him in response. Therefore, I want to do whatever he's commanding, because whatever he's commanding is going to be good. And it's going to produce something fruitful. And so I said, God, I'm just sharing really what's happening in me at the moment. I'm not through the end of it. I'm on a journey. And some of you might say, well, you should only share this when you finish your journey. But I don't think I'm ever going to finish this journey. Because I think this is one of those things that it's like we've got to go deeper in and deeper in and everything. And so it's like, God, let's have a look at another verse because we need to finish. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. And this is challenging as well. Looking in, this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And man, what a heart this guy had. Let's just quickly look at this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 17, because we need to pray and finish. Verse 17, never did we leave. This is Paul. He's not with the Thessalonians. He's writing to them. Basically, his heart is, you know, he's seen a load of them saved. They've invested in them, and they just want to be with these guys. Let's have a look. Never did we leave you in our hearts. Even though we might not be physically with you for a time, we made every effort to return to you as soon as possible. Again and again, this was my purpose personally. And he says here, in their situation, the enemy was preventing them from being with them. For is it not true that when the Lord Jesus comes, it will be seen that you are our hope, our joy, the crown in which we will glory in his presence? Yes, you are our glory and joy. I mean, this goes to another level altogether from what we've just read as well. And he says here, just listen to his heart here, where he's longing to be with them. Now, okay, they're in a different geographical place, but take the principle, take the what his heart here, what was happening in him. And I sat there and I said, God, do I long to be with other people? In the same way, Paul is saying, I long to be with you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, just to be with you. And because you're the fruit of our lives. We preach the gospel. You got saved and we've given our lives and we just want to be with you. And I said to the Lord, God, I don't. So begin to work in me and do something in me where I want to be with people. I long to be friends with people, long to encourage people, long to strengthen people. Now I do, but there's another depth of something. And what is he saying here in these verses? He says again and again, this was my purpose personally. But then he says this. Is it not true that when the Lord Jesus comes, it will be seen that you are our hope, our joy, the crown in which we will glory in his presence? When you read through the New Testament, there are five crowns that you're going to receive one day. And they're relating to different ways in which we've lived our life in obedience to God on earth. And one of those crowns is the crown of joy. Now that joy, that crown, this crown it's talking about here, is relating to those that we have led to Christ and those that we have invested in, been in relationship with in terms of how he's talking here. I long to be with you. I want to be with you, to invest, to be in relationship, to be in, you know, and to invest in your life. But it's also connected to people coming to Christ. Now, that's pretty challenging. Because there's a crown of joy. See, what was it when Jesus was just before he went to the cross? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? The joy was your and my salvation. That was the joy that enabled him to endure the cross because of what was going to happen in mankind, you know, salvation coming, the power of sin being broken. And so I've just started to pray. It's like, God, I thank you just in my life now then, this joy that just I long to be with people. I long to encourage people. I long to give to people. I long to want to invest in people. Not just because I want a crown of joy one day, but actually because I want to be with people, love people. Let's stand together, shall we? It's a bit quiet today. But I just, you know, just believe God's doing something and working. And some of you guys that have said to us over the last few weeks that God has been speaking to you about your home, opening up your home more, your life more, and the back door analogy that Chad gave. Quite a few of you on that day came up after the meeting and said, wow, it's amazing. That's exactly what God has been saying to me, that we're to open our home more and our lives need to be more open. And that God wants to do something completely fresh and new amongst us in the life groups and how they're going to develop and become key for people getting added into the life of the church and how things move forward as we come into this new season. But let's just close our eyes for a moment. And this hopefully is not a heavy message today, but just maybe a reality check in our own lives. And I know that's what's happening with me. And it's really just saying, Father, I want you to take the lid off. Take the restrictions off. I choose to open up my heart and my life in a fresh way. I'm going to make a move towards other people in a deeper way. And as I do that, I thank you that something's going to happen in me and something's also going to happen in others. You know, there's a principle in the kingdom. It's better to give than to receive. And what happens when we begin to give, other people not only receive, but other people then begin to respond. And as you're more open and as you give, other people then become more open and they give. It's a two-way thing. And then something begins to grow and deepen and develop. So let's just pray for a few moments. Because all of us in different ways can be fearful, can be afraid of letting people in. Hopefully we don't have things to hide in our lives, but maybe there are things that God wants to bring out into the open in our lives. Because when there's a depth of friendship, the Bible talks about walking in the light with one another. And we walk in the light as He is in the light. And, you know, if we walk in the light with each other, that actually helps us to walk a healthy relationship with God. When we're walking in the light with others, it keeps us from hiding things in the darkness and keeping things hidden away. And why? Because God wants us to live fully in who we are in Him and fully together in who we are in Him. So Father, I just pray this morning, just maybe talk to the Lord. Just open up your heart this morning. Say, Father, in this new season, I just want to open up my life and my heart in a fresh way. How you want to deepen friendships, how you want to deepen relationships. I'm available. I want to go there. I want to open up my life more fully to those brothers and sisters around me. Also, as you say in your word, it impacts the world. And so, Father, I want to open up my life to those that don't know you at this point, that they see the reality of my experience with you, my life with you and with the others. They're already in relationship with you. If you know you're fearful of that kind of thing, just firstly, give that to the Lord this morning. If you know you're fearful in relationships, open up. What's that going to mean? What's it going to mean? Well, sometimes you have to walk down a road to discover what it means. And sometimes if we describe things, well, I don't want to go there. But actually, when you walk in response to what God says, there's a grace there to then live in that. And it's amazing what God does as you take a step towards what He's saying. And Father, I just pray today as a church, as a people, as we move forward into this season, begin to open up our lives and our homes in a fresh way, maybe the back door of our lives, as it were. I thank you for a fresh release of your Holy Spirit amongst us, the Spirit of love, even the Spirit of friendship in that way. The Spirit of love, Father, that just does something in us that compels us to live in a different way. Father, that verse, making love a way of life, man, that challenged me. And Father, I choose today to make love a way of life. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it in my own efforts. I can't. But Holy Spirit, I thank you that as I take a step towards what you're saying, then something happens in me. Something happens in relationship with others. A bond of peace, that bond of love, that depth of relationship just goes deeper with others. Father, I thank you in the body here as we seek to love one another, give to one another, serve one another in response to your word. I thank you for a grace being released to do that. A grace to do that where it's not based on what I've given to them, but it's based on how I can, in the power of your Spirit, give to others. But my relationship is not going to be based on what others give to me first and what I can receive first, but actually, how can I give and what can I do for others? How can I be a blessing to others? How can I be a friend to others that then opens up somebody else's heart and life and a friendship deepens and grows? Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Let's just raise our hands for a minute, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your grace. Father, I just pray today that we would go out being encouraged and inspired inspired and motivated by you to live and begin to step into something more as a people. Father, I just thank you that in these coming days, as you move amongst us and however the life groups are going to develop, just the joy, the life, the fun that's going to grow and develop with it as we eat together, share our lives together, share stories of who you are and what's happening in our lives. And as we just seek to do that and be really practical and real, Father, I thank you that friendships are going to deepen. People are going to get healed. People are going to be set free. Lives are going to be transformed in the middle of friendships, relationships, in our homes, when we meet together in different ways, as well as on Sundays in other meetings. Father, I thank you that a dynamic of life release in our homes and when we're with each other, Father. I thank you for a new day, a new season. Praise your awesome mighty name. Come on, let's just thank the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Father. Praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.